Bong. Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do, here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim, almost 9 minutes past six on a Monday.
There you
PJ.
Go, everybody. Happy Monday. We're here again. Blinking, you'd miss it.
Exactly.
I actually thought it was quite a... We were just saying... Mike thought for him it was another one of those quick rapid fire weekends.
I just think every weekend
I thought it was quick,
quite
long
fire.
Again this
Did
time.
You?
Yeah, I just it was an awful bit of a drag in the day.
Do you slow
yesterday.
Yourself down or something at weekends? Do you like go on half speed or something to make them last a bit longer?
I don't know.
How do you do it? I tell you, I wish you'd share the secret.
There is
they
no
do
secret.
Seem to fly by.
I suppose you just start to do things or something like that. You know what I mean? Yesterday was unbelievable. I don't know what it was like where everyone else was in the country, but it was like
glorious
a summer's day.
Yeah, glorious.
Jeez, like the legs walked off myself.
We got invaded.
Oh, it was amazing.
Got invaded up in Narnia, we did.
Oh, I bet you did. Yeah, it was like that in Dunleary and everything as well.
Oh, please, blow winds. Oh, coming up.
Fantastic.
And automobile.
There you go. Look, Jim's going
those of us that have been there for a few years.
Here you go. Look, well, the rest of the country was basking in the sunshine, delighted that the weather was turning. He was there going, we won't get parking anywhere now. These feckin'. How did they even find a hole in the tree to get here? The feckers. Someone's talking about us.
It was a glorious day, to be fair, already. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was,
it was absolutely
brilliant. What a day.
Yeah,
what
very
a
good.
Day. And it looks like the week is going to be really warm.
It was
as
like
well.
That around the country yesterday. I don't know.
To be honest
with you,
I was too selfish. Yeah, I was too selfish. I was just wrapped up. I didn't even give a care what it was like in town. Like,
yeah.
If it wasn't where it was, immediately.
That'd be typical of you. You didn't think about what it'd be like in Narnia.
Couldn't give a fart. Couldn't give a fart. I was delighted with it.
Anyway, whatever you ended up doing, hopefully you enjoyed the weekend. I'm sure it was a lot faster for everybody else than it was for PJ, who has that. I don't know what sort of knack you have of making your weekends go slowly.
I don't know.
It's brilliant.
It feels like a while since I've seen you.
If you could bottle that or write it down, you'd make a fortune out of it. How to make your weekends last.
Well,
now there, I tell you, you could be
over now, but
you could become a self-help guru with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
People pay fortunes for that.
I'll just spoof it, write something down. It won't be until the after they buy the book they realise I'm talking nonsense. So you grab that and spoof me down to the ground.
Anyway, loads of people in touch already. JP is flying. He's on a short week anyway this week, so he's absolutely laughing because of midterm. He's off Thursday and Friday.
Well, there you go.
Oh, don't mind. Unbelievable. We were just saying about the people. Some people who get a lot
some
of holidays.
Some people get a lot of holidays around here. I tell you, and you might hear Tara's got a very funny voice today. She's always, I tell you, it's amazing.
It's a gift.
I don't know how she does it. It's fantastic.
It's a gift.
She must be the best negotiator ever.
Yeah.
She must have walked in here to the boss and went, I'd like 23 weeks holidays. And they were like, what? I don't, she obviously didn't say that. Just agree to it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Anyway, Trish and Lusk just checking in. Larbar checking in.
Larbar, how you doing, Larbar?
What else have we got? Happy Monday from English Ian. Good weekend. Who's that? Who's that? Who had a good weekend? Brendan Galway had a good weekend.
Ah, good
stuff.
Which
is always good
to
know, isn't it? Dan 2.0 giving us a nod. Who's this? Christina. What's Christina saying to us? She sent us a picture of a very dark place.
What's somewhere dark? Yeah, it must be the end of a road, is it?
Oh, no. She's excited about the huge moon.
Oh, there is
there.
A big full moon outside. Yeah, it's good. Nice to see.
To see you, nice. Big full moon.
God.
What else? I'm losing where I was there now a minute ago. There's Aaron saying he was away in Cork for the weekend. Cork, your neck of the woods.
Oh, that's better, yeah. No, Jesus. Oh, Cork. I'm sorry. It's hardly unusual for someone to celebrate Cork on a Monday.
Yeah. Oh, in Cork, you know what I mean? With his lady.
Brilliant. I was in Cork with the lady. It was great. I lashed her out. Got loads of money over for myself. Thank God. What a weekend that was, eh?
Oh, wow. And there's Derek at Swords. He's back on his old tricks again. Maintains he's been up since 3. Did a bit of light exercise. Work at 4. Finished at 11. Meet the lads at 1.
Go take a crap in your jocks, will you? God.
Obviously, you must be like Derek at weekends.
I'm not.
You squeeze so much in.
Not really.
Do you make your weekends last by getting up at 2 in the morning?
No, I think they're not. I think they're long because I don't have that much to do. You'd be staring, like you feel like a cat looking out the window going, Jesus, is this day ever going to end? You know what I mean? You're like,
that's it. We're going to turn that into a thing now.
This is torture.
We're going to pre-plan your weekends.
It's really long. Like, what am I going to do? This is so long.
I tell you, there's money to be made in that.
When you don't be going to the pub, you'd be just looking at the window. Hey, here now, what do I do? What time is it? Jesus, I've been awake for a while. What time is it? It must be nearly bedtime. Oh, 2:30. There's certainly a lot of day left in there. What am I going to, maybe I could eat. Oh, no, I ate there a minute ago. I thought I was trying to have a nap.
John Farnham, you're the voice here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good to have you with us, folks, once again. Thanks a million for hanging out with us. 087-188-0008, as always, if you want to give us a shout. We're about to do the birthdays. Start off the birthday. See if Mr. G here can grab himself another day off.
Yes, let's do our best for that. Thank you very much.
Right, are you ready
let's
for this?
Let's be honest, everybody's thinking about me.
Good selection. Good selection, actually. There's six opportunities here.
Right? Yeah.
And it's a mixed bag. Okay, but they're big names, a lot of them, starting with Yoko Ono.
Oh, Yoko Ono.
John Lennon's missus.
The woman who famously destroyed the greatest band in the world.
That must be quite a thing to carry around.
It must be.
Woman who ruined the Beatles.
Yeah, the woman who, even if it's not true, which
exactly.
I don't think it is true. I mean, he was as mad as she was. Let's be honest about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't like
it was just a convenient argument at the time. It just,
yeah. But it wasn't like he was looking at her and going, here, Yoko, will you calm down, will you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not leaving the Beatles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like he was completely complicit in all of that madness.
I think it was more that people assumed that she was coming in going, John, you should be playing a cat.
Yeah.
What?
We should be playing.
You should be playing.
Living bagpipes.
That's not a musical instrument.
You blow into
it
a cat's bottom and you see.
It's artistic.
Yeah,
and
all
different.
Of that. Yeah. Well, she was a bit like that, yeah. You know what I mean? She is a bit like that. Do you ever see some of the videos of her on YouTube?
No.
Oh, my God. She's bats. Like,
Joseph,
proper.
Here's one for you.
Bats.
By way of a clue of sorts, I was a little bit taken aback that she's this age.
That she's as old as she is.
Yeah.
Oh, she's getting on.
Yeah. You
Jeepers.
Kind of forget like that.
60s was a long time ago.
Yeah. And to be fair, you're thinking of kind of, you know, McCartney's knocking around still. I think he looks all right. And stuff like that.
I
you're trying
don't
to put
know,
him in
Jimmy.
No?
He looks a bit like some. He looks a bit like if you dropped a prune and it rolled under the couch and one day you're doing the hoovering and you're there going,
no, that's where that went.
Oh, geez, what's that? I don't remember eating that. He looks, yeah, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. He's a bit.
Well, I wouldn't wizened. Know him. I wouldn't know him as personally as
he's
you
like
would.
A, he's like the Wicked Witch of the Beatles now. You know, that's
is
what it
he?
Is. Yeah, he's got a bit
oh
of that
God.
About him, to be honest with you, yeah. I'd say.
So is there only Ringo then that's kind of like.
Sure, no one knows what he looks like. He's never been seen in public. The real Ringo. Remember he used to wear the fake moustache and hair all the time in the Beatles? Yeah, it was fake. That's not how he actually looked like. He looked mad.
He actually looks like Thomas the Tank Engine.
He's lucky, I think he's actually a cartoon dressed up as a human. But I gotta say she's like 82.
Ooh. 86.
Oh.
86. Jeez.
Jeepers.
Right.
Right,
what about this? John Travolta. The man of two careers.
Careers.
Well, when you think about it, he kind of had a big career. He did the whole Grease thing, Saturday Night Fever, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
huge
yeah,
star.
Yeah, yeah.
Then nothing. Disappearance.
I thought you were going to tell me he had, like, he was, you know, another career,
as in something
actor,
totally different. Well,
and a race car driver.
He is a pilot, even though
yeah,
he doesn't
yeah,
do
yeah.
it commercially necessarily. But then, you know, the break, and then he came back with Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And it kind of all kicked off again. He got another career over.
That's true. Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Big lull in the middle.
He did all Get Shorty and all. He does some mad movies.
Has he gone a bit strange?
Ah, he's always been strange. He's mad as a brush. He's like Tom Cruise. He's mad as a brush. If you met him, you'd be disgusted with how mad he is.
Is he that mad?
But he's also, but he's just very
What's
charismatic.
His mad thing?
He's Scientology and all of that.
Oh, is
well.
He as well?
Yeah, he's mad into all of that. You know, he's got a kid that has learning disabilities or something.
Right.
And he just says, no, he's just lazy. You know,
You're
no
joking.
Such thing. He's got one of these things where there's no such thing as learning disabilities. Just, you know, he just needs to pull himself together. You
bit
know
like
I mean?
You with food intolerances.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Except I'm right.
Of course.
You know, I'm allergic to a nut. Get it over. Stab yourself with a biro every time you eat it. Will you? It's rough.
Oh,
oh, there you go. That's you, good. Well, every time I say this, the outrage I get.
Yeah.
From the staff
the
here.
The difference is you're messing. Whereas John Travolta is. Yeah.
He's actually serious.
He'd be, yeah.
From the staff here.
Absolute, he'd be there going, you're right, BJ. I've been trying to. Why he would speak like that, I don't know. But
yeah, he goes
you know.
Into this New York accent he gets it.
Yeah, he was obviously in character. He was,
right,
in the middle
man.
Of a movie.
Yeah, man, you're right. I get it. You know what you're talking about, eh? I love when I do that out here because you get Ender comes in, the Ender. You did it again.
you took the Mickey out of allergies. My wife has one and assures me that you are wrong.
There are you. Tell her to stick a biro in her knee. Get over it.
I'd love to bring you along to one of those big conferences. You know, those wellness conferences or something and all that. And places where there'd be all sorts of gluten-free and dairy-free. All these kind of...
People who are allergic to
basically
fresh air and all these heads. You know what you have now?
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'd get you as a keynote speaker.
Yeah. See you all.
Stick a boyer on
Stick a boyer on your knee. Get a real problem with your life.
Oh, my God.
You shower a half with...
Dear, oh dear, that would be...
John Travolta agrees with me, don't you, John?
Damn right, man.
Right, what age is he?
He's 69.
65. Right. Right, quick one now, because I'm wondering whether we should cut these in two halves.
But might have to.
Right, a quick one for you. Stick with the actors for the minute. Right, Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon. Rebel. He's a... that's about all I know about him.
Don't get me wrong, right? He's done some great stuff.
Yeah, the Fairy Tale of New York video is probably his finest.
Yeah. Am I thinking of the right Matt Dillon? I'm going to get embarrassed.
You're not thinking of Matt Damon, are you?
That's exactly what I was doing.
Are you?
I was about to say that he was a bit of a bland actor. But I was actually... No. You're right, I was thinking of Matt Damon.
Ah, no, Matt Dillon's not bland. Matt Dillon's a brilliant. Proper acting chops on him, yeah. So that's his... And I'm not messing. I think his best thing he ever did was the Fairy Tale in New York video. It set him in time forever.
Yeah.
He's the copper, isn't it? I went all scouse. He's a copper. He's a copper.
Yeah. Right, well, look, you're on your own, buddy, because I was thinking of the wrong person completely. For some reason, I had Matt Damon in my head.
Oh, right.
So, I have nowhere to go with this.
Matt Damon's
mind you, Matt Dillon, Oscar nominated, says here.
Big time.
For Crash.
I'd say he's about 57.
55, buddy.
Wasn't a million miles away now,
no, not too bad, not too bad. Right, I tell you what.
It's great when I know who they are and he doesn't for a change. Jeepers,
Especially when I was the one putting them in there. Anyway. None out of three there, right?
But
a game of two halves.
Let's
we'll
do it
come
again.
Back at this.
There's only the warm up anyway.
Exactly.
Didn't
second
like
half.
Any of those people. Shower Geeb. didn't like them.
I'm way more confident about the second half.
Shower Gigi's. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Exactly.
Horse's arse.
Now you're up to date on your station for 80s, 90s and more. This is Classic Hits.
Cheers, John. 6:32. Welcome along.
Good
How
morning.
Are you, sir?
Very well. How are you
I'd
doing?
I'd say you couldn't waste the prospect of getting up extra early on a Monday. On a Monday
Indeed.
Morning.
Yeah, we're making a habit
of
this.
The moon.
I think this is the fourth morning in some weeks. Eh?
Isn't it? Yeah.
So you want to get yourself Tara's agent.
Exactly, yeah. What's going on there, huh? That man is working hard. And he's very talented.
By the way, if you get his number, you pass it on.
I will indeed. He must be in demand, or she, yeah.
Flat out, one way or the other, yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you something, yeah.
Now you have it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure whether we're talking about her agent or her travel agent.
It's the same one.
It's the same person.
He's a really, like,
He's two different coloured Filofax things.
That'd be a brilliant travel agent, wouldn't it? If not only did they organise your actual holiday, but they arranged to get you off work.
Oh, I tell you.
That's a fantastic agent to have.
I have to make the difficult first phone call, followed subsequently by a much more pleasant phone call 5 minutes later, where we're going to some far-flung destination. There you go.
Fantastic. I love it. That's what we all need. It's one of those type of agents.
I don't think there is only one, and I think it sort of lives inside Tara's head as well. Yeah. When did you know you were coming in?
I got a text message at about 11 yesterday, so...
11 last night?
Oh, well. 11 a.m. and I'll give her that much.
I like to imagine you as this sort of emergency news person. That kind of like a,
yes.
Yeah, just the light went. The red phone rang in your bedroom this morning and you just were ready and at it.
And Commissioner Gordon was there kind of thing, yeah. But
exactly. We kind of assumed that, similar to PJ on his RNLI gig, that there's a pager that goes off.
PJ saving lives.
Somebody
I'm in here
somewhere.
Reading news.
Yeah, somebody somewhere needs to hear the news.
Yes. It's that important, yeah. More backstop. No.
It's quite a hero.
Newsman.
The way it is, Bruce Hornsby in the range and the power from Snap just ahead of that, 19 minutes away from 7 o'clock. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Monday, 18th of February. Good to have you with us, folks. Thanks for hanging out. A few people just to give a shout out to just before we get stuck into the birthdays again. Dan in Cork. This is old Dan in Cork, so you can... You know there's abuse coming.
Yeah, this cranky Dan, yeah.
He says, never mind the weather in the artificial Southsiders part of the world. Apparently in Cork, it was like Jim's undercrackers. Wet and windy.
Whoa.
How very dare you?
Well, I know what you're talking about.
My undercrackers are pristine, Dan in Cork.
Yeah, right. think he wears them back to front, it's just that he's blown a hole in both sides of them.
How very dare you question the undercrackers.
Oh, I tell you.
That's incredible. Also, Amanda's been on. She basically said that she had a weekend of Rocky. She pulled out the old DVDs and did a whole Rocky watching kind of weekend.
Rock!
And is highly recommending that you get to watch Creed 2.
It's the greatest movie in the world. It is the greatest movie in the world, Rocky. All the Rockies. They're just unbelievable. When you know the story of how they got made, if you actually have nothing to do,
Average PJ Gallagher weekend.
Yeah, something like a weekend where you're like sitting on your hands just waiting for time to pass. Jeepers. Stick on Tony Robbins telling the story of Rocky and how it was made on YouTube. It's just
incredible.
It's really
inspiring
amazing.
Inspiring stuff. Also, Paul from Rochford Bridge. Did I say, is that right?
Rochford Bridge,
in County Westmeath. Yeah, he's been away and his jolly's just back from Playa del Inglés. First day back, he's been listening all week in the sun. Man, Paul. Dedication.
I didn't realise it was hot anywhere in Spain yet.
Well, why not?
I thought it was just sort of, you know, a little bit warmer than here.
Well, that'll do.
You're right. I know, it's just
a good thing.
Let us know what kind of degrees it was in Playa del Inglés.
Yeah.
I'd love to know because I'm sort of planning a little bit of a shibbity dibbity dibbity away. Nothing like Tara now, it's only 4 days. She's taking 4 months off, obviously. But I'll try to, a couple of days. Let us know actually what it's like in the old Spanish lands.
Mary and Santry had a bit of a bittersweet experience when we played John Farnham, You're the Voice, earlier on. She used to love that song.
Such a great song.
Had the record and then she lent it to a friend of hers, never saw us again.
Yeah, that's one of my pet hates in life. Because you know when somebody says, can I borrow that? What they actually mean is, you know the way you were working and you saved up for that and you bought it for yourself so you have something nice in the house? Yeah, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
I'm going to say borrow, but you'll never see it again.
Yeah, you'll never see it again. So there you go. Yeah, so that's a...
JP reckons we need to get your girlfriend to occupy your weekends. Yes. Don't mind him, JP. He's got a harem of JP. People coming and going.
Are you a lady, JP?
Yeah,
Stella is listening in...
Koh Samui.
Koh Samui.
In Thailand.
And says, hi, PJ.
There you go.
Listen, hi to you, Stella. Yeah, I'm here. Always here, the other side of the desk. But no need to say hi.
She knows, Jim.
Fine. It's all right.
She knows.
32 degrees, according to our dashboard.
32 degrees. Look at that. Oh, Stella. You're breaking my heart here. Yeah.
And also, you've upset a lot of people.
What have I done?
I think people have got the wrong end of the stick. People texting in saying that John Travolta's son passed away a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you were slagging John Travolta.
Yeah, his attitude towards the young fella was mad.
Although
yeah.
somebody does say, who's this says that apparently John Travolta used to give his kids $1 million for every birthday from the age of 1 to 18.
Get out of here.
Who's saying that? That's John. John Heavey
saying
that.
Get out of here. $1 million for every year.
Look, hey, come on. I'm not saying it's written in stone. I'm saying John Heavey is telling us that.
Imagine being 8 years old with $8 million in the bank.
That wouldn't be too... What did you say there?
8 years old with $8 million in the bank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Imagine. How are you going to... Like, your dad going... I bought it yesterday. I'm never going there again. The teachers work for me now. That's insane. Obviously, they can't access it.
I assume it's in some sort of trust. I don't know.
Be some sort of Richie Rich thing. That would be fantastic just to give a 10-year-old $10 million and see what he'd do with it. Wouldn't that be just a brilliant experiment? That'd be a great TV show. An awful waste of money.
Yeah.
But a fantastic television show.
Why not?
And you're not allowed to interfere. You just tell, there's $10 million, do whatever you like. You know, I'd watch that TV show.
See what a kid would do with
it. What would a 10-year-old do with $10 million?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'd have loads of dogs running around a massive tent. You know what I mean? And he'd have like a BMX for every day of the week. Oh, it'd be a fantastic bit of television.
Killian, you found a colleague in Killian, or somebody who thinks a like-minded soul, put it that way. Because he was working over the weekend.
Yeah,
so he maintains the weekend was more than long enough.
But now, in fairness, you had it harder than I did. Mine was just long because I was looking out the window like a cat trying to figure out what to do with the hours in the day. It's like, oh my God.
Right, are you ready to take on the second half?
Oh, sorry, come on. Yeah.
We're going for this now. The first half was a bit of a disaster. 0 out of 3. You've got 3 more. Starting with
best, you know what I mean?
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. I like Dr. Dre.
Extraordinary documentary on Netflix about...
Have you watched it? I haven't watched it
I've
yet.
I watched the start, haven't got through it all. But, you know, basically it's the whole thing to... he invented Beats headphones.
Yeah.
And basically was like, basically became a billionaire as a result. I mean, he was already successful as a record producer.
Yeah, like Conor McGregor and his whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he obviously...
Although on a slightly bigger scale now, to be fair.
Really? Is he more money than Conor McGregor?
Are you taking... He's like a... I mean, Apple paid him $3 billion just for the to sell the headphones.
Shut up.
Yeah.
$3 billion.
$3 billion, yeah. Just to sell his headphones.
Get out of life.
Or to own them, or to whatever the expression is. Franchise them, license them, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And that's after he was already, like, you know...
Yeah, yeah, extraordinarily successful.
Yeah.
Producing Eminem and all that. He didn't really invent headphones at all. They're just headphones with beats. Like, they're not even that fantastic.
Wait, I have to confess, I don't have a pair. And I've never tried them, so I don't know if they're any good.
I'm certainly not getting a pair now. He doesn't need the money.
Because that's the other thing. Apart from them paying $3 billion just to do them, obviously every time they're sold, he gets a little piece of something, something.
Yeah, of course he does. Oh my God, I had no idea. So there you go. Who knew that he did? Who knew that? I don't know what to say. And he launched Eminem.
Yeah.
Like when you think about his effect on the world.
Dr. Dre.
My God, and none of it's positive. Oh, Dr. Dre. Unbelievable. Wow, that shocks me. Right, what age is he though? He's probably still in his 50s.
Yeah, in his 50s.
56.
Oh! 54. 54. Right, what about the Divine Ponytail?
I have no idea what that is.
The Divine Ponytail was the nickname of one Roberto Baggio.
Ah!
Yeah.
Oh, I was such a fan. Oh my God, I loved Roberto Baggio.
Was he a Juve player? Was he Juventus?
Yes, he was a Juventus player, yeah. And he, of course, he was the main man in Italy 90.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a player he was.
But didn't he get, wouldn't he famously miss it?
94, he missed a penalty, wasn't
it? Was that it?
94, he missed a penalty. Oh my God, shock. Oh, what a shocker. No one thought it could ever happen. They sort of...
Anybody bar him probably would have been extracised.
Yeah, I know. He was such a love of... His mad perm. Imagine having a ponytail and a perm at the same time. Like, that's bravery.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that have been brave in the world.
That's full.
There's people that have stood up to oppression. And there's people that have stood up for the working people. And they would risk their life. People have sacrificed their life. Not many people have played the World Cup with a ponytail and a perm at the same time.
Yeah, that's a risk.
And I tell you, that's a hell of a...
Yeah, yeah. When the entire world is watching.
Yeah, to do that and to be universally
strength
loved,
of character.
Oh, my God. It's the strength of character. Oh, never mind some of the poxiest football jerseys in the time. But I will say then he is... God, he is... 53.
Ah! 52.
Uh-huh.
You've been skirting.
It's not my morning.
You've been skirting it.
It's not my morning.
And it's a former footballer to finish, but still very much in the frame because he's... he's quite respected by most people as a decent pundit, I think. But Gary Neville,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gary Neville, who I do like. He was brilliant. And if you're a United fan, you have to like Gary Neville. So,
yeah.
But
although,
can be very harsh.
Yeah, I think he's a great pundit. I think him and Carragher together.
Very harsh. Carragher.
I like them. I have to say,
you don't Jamie like Carragher. Carragher.
I do, actually. I do. I know that's not a popular view to have.
Spitting on young people.
But no, I do like him as a pundit, I have to say.
Do you?
I do think he's actually quite fair as a pundit.
He spat on a young one.
I'm not condoning that. I'm saying as a pundit on the telly.
I suppose he spits on everyone with just that accent.
Like he said,
how you doing?
He doesn't have the Liverpool rose-coloured glasses as much as some of them do.
Yeah, like Steve McManaman and all them. You
yeah,
him?
And Souness rubs me up the wrong way a lot of the times.
Oh, my jeepers. You
know, but I think Carragher's okay, actually, to be fair. And him and Neville together, I think, are good crack, actually.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I saw them doing the famous jersey swap and all about a month or two ago. That was a bit of crack. Bitter pill to swallow. But anyway, bitter pill. Right, fair enough.
So yeah. Gary Neville, then.
You know when you run out of bias, when you just realise you're just being totally biased, and you can either own up to us or just go, ah, sure.
Oh, no, you are right. He did spit on something. So what?
He did spit on a young one, that's all I'm saying. Really? Okay, Gary Neville is 48.
44.
I was way off.
This is the day best forgotten on the birthday front, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, I'd like to apologise to my mother for everything I've done this morning. It's been a bad morning for me. I've insulted everyone. John Travolta, Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher. I would wish an apology, but sure, I'd never stop.
Take Your Mama, Scissor Sisters. Here are classic hits. Waking Up Happy with PJ and Jim. 11 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday. Welcome along if you're just joining us. Good to have you with us. Thanks again for hanging out with us. And much appreciated. Do tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tell a stranger. Tell anybody you like, really. Force it upon other people. That's basically what we're trying to say.
Essentially the way. Is there anything people like more than having stuff forced upon them?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
I think it's obligatory. By the way, just before we get into this, somebody's been on from Thailand, PJ, right?
Yeah.
So earlier on we had...
someone from Koh Samui. Yeah,
which is where?
In Thailand.
That's
yeah.
in Thailand too, right. Well, this is called... I'm going to make a mess of this. Conburi, is it? C-H-O-N-B-U-R-I.
Comer, Conburi. Oh, no, that's Pat Comer. Japers, for God's sake. Conburi, Thailand. Yeah.
Anyway, that's where he's listening. And he's listening live today. He says, normally I listen to the podcast when I'm cycling. Listened to it recently about the strange gifts, and I once gave my girlfriend, later to become my wife, an exhaust pipe for $150.
You old romantic, oh
wow.
My God. I tell you something, you must have knocked her right off her feet.
And by way of explanation, he goes, she did have a $150.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
You
yeah.
know, I mean, I didn't just give it to her like...
No, it wasn't like... Yeah.
It wasn't like I was giving her a motorbike in parts.
Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, we're going to get her a set of wheels the following year. No, you old romantic. No, not at all.
Anyway, Pat, it's good to have you along. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning.
Jeepers.
Anyway, 13 minutes past 7 o'clock. If you're up at the moment heading to work, are you mad?
Are you mad? You must be. Because I tell you something, who knew we're all being tortured? We
tortured.
Should get the European Courts of Human Rights on our side. Everybody in... like, this is almost all of us.
Literally, you know... everybody listening to us at the moment.
You're so, yeah.
This is, if you're heading to work.
You're being tortured.
This is
you're
relevant.
Being tortured. I'm telling you. This is it. Ireland out of Europe. Yeah. This is a new one. Our exit should be a thing. We're being tortured. European laws. They have us under their heel. So a scientist in Oxford University, right? His name's
right.
Paul Kelly. And he's made this discovery that, he examined all the forms of modern day torture that there is, and he found that waking up and going to work before 10 a.m. is the most common daily torture inflicted on the people of the world. He says that there's a body clock, it's called the circadian rhythm, and it means our bodies are pre-programmed, and this cannot be changed. So if we force ourselves to get out of bed every day earlier than our organs and our brain and our skin,
yeah.
even our eyes are ready, then we're fighting our natural body clock, and that gives us terrible adverse effects on our health. So that means we get more stressed out, we get more emotional, and sleep deprivation, when we know that's not good for us. We can't do tasks without being dangerous.
Maybe that explains this show, actually. That probably explains why we're not, you know, just not very good at anything.
Well, excuse me,
it's
what are you talking about?
Because obviously we're just up too early. If we did this show in the afternoon or something, we'd probably be great at... well, like, think of all the things we're bad at. Terrible at maths.
Be careful now, because Andy Badney will say, I'll tell you what, lads, do it at home.
Yeah.
Do it at home. At your own time. On your own time.
Yeah,
do it
yeah.
at home.
No, there won't
I mean?
Be any pay for it.
Yeah.
Do it to yourself.
I'll tell you what, just stay in bed as long as you want. Just don't ever come here ever again.
Don't ever come looking for a wage.
This is what happens. And then you realise there's a whole other form of torture. It's called having no money.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and I also wonder, there's two possible outcomes of this, Mr. Paul Kelly from Oxford University. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe we are all being tortured into an early grave. Or maybe you're just a lazy bugger who's managed to spend taxpayers' money to find out the one thing that you thought about anyway. Maybe you're just sitting there going, do you know something? Is anyone here knackered? We should do a scientific survey. I mean, honest to God. I mean, yes, there's an argument.
I can't believe
getting
you're...
8 hours sleep is enough. But I don't want to go to bed.
This is
early.
You see. This is typically you, because you get up early anyway.
Yeah.
Even when you're left to your own devices, you choose to get up early.
Yeah.
And your weekends are too long for you. There's something wrong with you. You're not part of the normal collection that we know as the human race.
Is that right?
You love getting up early. You love... in fact, you don't love having weekends that, you know...
No, I don't really. I'm not mad.
I mean, what is... You're an employer's dream, you are.
Am I, yeah?
Yeah.
Really? Ask Andy Bad News now. Am I an employer's dream? How many on-air apologies have we had to make because of my...
As those words were coming out of my mouth,
yeah,
I was
you were
thinking,
like,
you're lying now, Jim.
This is lies.
You're lying.
Yeah. I'm trying to lie myself. You see, you're doing what Paul Kelly does. You're just trying to spoof your way. No matter what, trying to suit the agenda of getting up after 10 o'clock. That's
exactly.
all it is.
That's all it was.
That's all. Imagine that. An employee, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Fake news it isn't. I'm an employer's dream.
An employer's dream.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
There's employers
Andy,
of mine.
I regularly see Andy, and sometimes I think he's so happy that he has you as an employee. Sometimes I actually see him crying.
Yeah, he's so happy that
he
I work here.
He's crying into his hands.
His hair fell out because he couldn't smile anymore. That's what happened. Our boss's hair literally fell out with relaxation. His head relaxed so much his hair fell out because he had such a solid employee.
And I mean, the tears of joy that man sheds
when he's writing apologies for the station.
It's extraordinary. I've seen
brilliant,
him.
Yeah.
I love to see him so happy.
Definitely, yeah. Poor man hasn't been able to sleep past 10 o'clock for 4 years since I got here. Because he has to get up at 6 and find out what exactly I haven't been doing or
so
have been doing wrong.
Has Mr. Scientist bloke said what we should do? Are we all supposed to, like, the world should just get up at 10 o'clock, should it?
Well, what he's saying is the 8-hour working day, he says it was created at the beginning of the century.
Yeah,
right,
by the man. It's
by the
blame it on the man.
That's what he says. Yeah, basically to maximise productivity. And he says, but no. No, they didn't consider the human body clock, did they? No. He didn't consider that a body wants to be coordinated with sunlight and not a boss's timetable, did they? No. And he says, unfortunately, we're stuck in this old system and it's archaic and we need to do what our bodies naturally want to do. Well, my body naturally wants to do, wants to eat jellies for breakfast every day. So I don't trust my body. I'll be honest with you. I think my body's as big a liar as anybody else.
No, I do. I have to say, I think he could be a man of the people, that man. So basically he's saying we shouldn't get up till at least 10 o'clock and we shouldn't do an 8-hour workday.
Yeah.
That we should just do.
And then he's saying we shouldn't, you have to have energy drinks.
Does he mention money at all in this or anything?
Well, you see, a man who gets to spend your money to tell you you're working too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't
think he's already cracked the whole working gig there.
Yeah.
Tell you what I'll do. You give me a few hundred grand. I'll give you a survey that says stay in bed and don't work so hard. Yeah. It's a deal.
Do you know, I'll call it, for an extra few quid, I'll even call it torture. You know, Mr. Paul Kelly, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, Mr. Paul Kelly, get up! The Rembrandts, and I'll be there for you here at Classic Hits. Almost 7:22, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Maureen's been on to say, you're so right, boys. I'm in work, but want to cry every morning when I get up.
Yeah, I think we all know that feeling.
And then Paddy the Chippy's been on to say, lads, if you weren't there in the morning, it would be a sad morning. Yeah, but the beauty of it is, Paddy, if we weren't here in the morning, you wouldn't be either. None of us would be getting up till 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, judging by Mr. Kelly's goings on anyway. I like getting up in the morning. It makes a bit of
We all know about you. But you're somebody who thinks your weekends are too long.
The problem is
you're the only person in the world.
We're feckin'. We're just we're unpleasable people. I tell you, so, if we all started to work at 1 o'clock, we'd be given out because... So I'm sitting around the house doing nothing for the whole day. There's no perfect time.
Yeah.
Get up and get it done. There's nothing else. Actually, it's not even that. It's get into bed. The amount of people I know, and I'm one of them at times, you just start going, you're lying there, right, I'm going to get into bed early now and get the night done. And you get into bed early and you sit there telly.
Get the night done.
Get the night done. Get it out of the way. You know what I mean? Get to sleep. Get a proper sleep.
Yeah. I like to do my nights in the afternoon just to get them out of the way. Brilliant.
Okay, maybe I'm not expressing myself.
Check this out. Paul, is it? No, it's Jenny and Charlton. Sorry. Morning, guys. Paul Kenny, was that his name? Paul Kenny. Anyway, whatever his name was. Might be onto something. Sure, don't Sweden have, or at least trialled, a 6-hour working day and found people were much more productive? I say follow suit. A 6-hour working day would be awesome.
Right, Jenny, I hate to break it to you. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But I'm currently on that. It sort of suits lovely. Now, I will say this, Jenny. It doesn't necessarily make anyone any more productive. In fact, I actively pursue lack of productivity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like we're doing what we can
do.
It's
like a mission.
Yeah. The only problem is we get in here so early. When you think about it. Mm. You know, like there's not a lot of people are in it. Whatever. 5:45. Whatever time you come in. I think you just come in and lie on the ground at midnight. You and Mike, you'd be in there at midnight lying on the ground holding hands or something, trying to get through it. I don't know what time you get in. You know, but there's a lot of people that, you know, you come in a certain amount that early and you do think you're not really being looked over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, let me
be
honest.
So you like, basically what you're saying is, you like the freedom of there being no bosses there,
yes!
Is it?
Yes!
Yeah.
I like coming into work to make breakfast. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Brilliant. Well, we're delighted to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Ben in Wicklow was on to say, there are a lot of people who stay in bed until after 1 a.m. 1 a.m., I assume he means p.m. They're called the unemployed. God bless their little cotton socks.
Some people don't have a choice.
He says, I don't mind having to leave my house and hardly see my family, as well as giving up half my salary and tax so they can live the dream. Oh, look, you've struck a chord with Ben there now.
Tell you,
look
Ben,
what you've done. Ben and Wicklow's not a happy bunny.
I didn't mean to upset your apple tart, Ben. I did mean that.
Ben and Wicklow, now look what you've done, you see?
I see.
Now he's even happier going to work
he's
than he was.
Now. Just remember, Ben, you're being tortured. It's official.
Guaranteed Irish from Aslan, and this is Here Are Classic Hits, Waking Up Happy with PJ and Jim. We were talking about Christy last week and his membership, honorary lifetime membership of the UCD Law Society.
Fair play to him.
And now apparently he said that he wants to present a crime show. He'd like to present a real-life crime show.
You know,
kind of stuff that the likes of... Donald McIntyre and Paul Williams and
I think he'd be brilliant at that. I think Christy's an amazing storyteller. I think people don't understand how good he is at telling stories.
Who was that other guy that did crime shows on television? What was his name? He was very good.
I don't know.
Very good he was. He was bald chap. What was his name again? He was very good. Very talented fella.
Jerry McCabe. Was that it? Was that his name? Jerry McCabe.
Unbelievable. What do you have to do to get a bit of recognition around these parts? Anyway, yeah, so Christy, yeah, we'd fancy himself doing a kind of... you know, presenting one of those real-life kind of criminal underworld...
I think he'd be brilliant at it.
He'd be deadly at it.
Although I'd prefer him to do, like, you know, that was one of those where they sort of sneak up on people. What was the one, the Cook Report? Was that it years ago?
You doorstep somebody.
You doorstep the lads who were up to no good. You know, you catch them in the act and then you doorstep them. That'd be brilliant if Christy did that.
Yeah, I don't think Christy'd be into the running.
He wouldn't have to. He'd ride a horse.
I don't think he'd...
What? Yeah, he'd be free. He's pure fingers. He'd ride a horse barefoot. He'd be there knocking on the door. He'd come out, you.
Chasing a dodgy builder.
We know what you're up to, you bleeding git. And he'd chase some dodgy builder up the road.
On a horse.
For trying to rip off some
elbow. Fantastic. What a show that would be.
I'd love
to see. Watch that.
He'd be brilliant at it. He'd be absolutely, he'd be like the William Wallace of Finglas.
He says growing up in Finglas, he knows, you know, this is what he was saying about presenting the show. He says growing up in Finglas, He's known people who have obviously ended up involved in crime or whatever, and it could have gone either way for him and all that sort of stuff. So he says he's always been intrigued by the legal system and the criminal kind of world and all that sort of stuff, and that he'd like to do a show on it.
Oh, come on, he had to dodge it a few times himself. Like, you know what I mean?
He
does mention that himself. I don't think I'm exposing Christy to say he's had darker times.
Could have gone either way for himself during a certain period in his life.
But
he's a
brilliant bloke and he's a great survivor. And the stories, when you talk to Christy, the stories he comes out with are just amazing.
Yeah.
Like he would be brilliant. Yeah.
And the other thing he says, the thing about the Law Society, right? He says that he's delighted, it's a great honour and, you know, to be accepted into it. Never in a million years would he have thought it and all that sort of stuff. And he says the only problem is he can't represent himself if he ever faces a charge. That'd be brilliant. That'd be like the Irish version of My Cousin Vinny.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm waiting to tell you now, Your Honour.
Hold on, Your Honour. I'm a man of experience here.
Yeah, excuse me till I just hide my horse here.
Hold on to your wig there, horse, while I run you through the legal details. It'd be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. In fact, he should actually go all the way now, I think Christy should, and just go to the King's Inns and all, and get the barrister thing.
Get the wig?
Yeah. And I'd love to be represented by Christy in court. I'd love it. Because he's very articulate.
Yeah.
He is, like. And to have him do it, and be so Dublin, and then have him fight in your corner.
Yeah.
It would be an incredible thing.
You'd want him to put his own spin on it, his own personality into
it.
You wouldn't want
him
to just become a normal.
No! Like
You'd have to say, like, if he was defending you know what I mean, and you were standing there and all of the odds are stacked against you and you're there and you're facing the wrath of the legal system.
Yeah.
You'd want Christy to go and say, excuse me, Your Honour, but look at this man. These are the hands of a tired man.
Yes. Yeah. And the judge would be, why are you not wearing shoes? I get nervous. Your Honour. I get nervous. It's me way. I've been doing it for years.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Like,
we'll have to get him back in again. We'll have to get him back in to have a chat about it. See if we can make this happen.
Christy, I tell you. Judge Jimmy. Remember we used to do Judge Jimmy. We'd get Christy in to have a fight with you on air.
We need a good name for it. We need a good name for Christy's crime.
His crime show.
I was going to say Christy's crime spree. That's a completely different show.
That's a different show altogether. And we'd like to disassociate ourselves and say his days are over.
Yeah.
It'd be like a Judge Judy with Christy and it would be fantastic as well.
Oh, if he was making the decisions.
Two people come to him and, like, you know, he's there going, now hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Did you rob the bike? Well, it was kind of my, but you're the spoofer. Spoofer.
Yeah, call it like it is.
I ruin a favour of the plaintiff. Get your arse out of me court before I knock you out. You gob. I mean, that'd be deadly television.
Right. That's, if anybody's any suggestions of what we can call Christie's new crime show.
And he walks out of the court, jumps on a horse and gallops off until another episode next week where he'll be solving a trespassing law.
Yeah, yeah.
On the local supermarket.
And the theme tune would have to be crazy world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
How can I represent you in this crazy world?
Everybody needs me. Everybody needs a lawyer.
Now, who the man?
Classic hits.
Who the man? Who the man? Win the cash if you can. Are they big? Are they small? If you know, tell us all. Look out. Here comes
who the man. So it's who the man this morning. Double Money Monday, and it's a whopper. It's 2,200 quid. Which is not a small amount of cash by any stretch. So to say the phones are busy is putting it mildly, to be honest with you.
Huge interest.
And don't forget, the clue is top class. So that's apparently a very good clue, judging by Magical Michael's going. And also, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, tell us who this is.
Man.
There you go, look.
That's what it's all about.
Nearly forgot to give you your one last listen before we got stuck into it. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is in Dublin this morning. How are you, Ryan?
How are you, lads? How's things?
Not all bad good, at all. Ryan, you?
Actually, not too bad, no. Kept going.
How was your weekend? Did you have a good one?
No problem. Didn't do too much.
Didn't do too much, no. Had a relaxing... Yeah, stretching out, yeah. Seems to be a lot of that going on still. Don't think we're ever going to get going again.
Relaxing now and again, too.
Yeah. A lot to be said for it, you know. A lot to be said for it.
Right, Ryan, let's try and give you a few quid. 2,200 euro. Who is it?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, right.
Robin Williams.
The late and the great.
He hasn't been guest before, actually.
Yeah.
Popular character.
I don't know, maybe we can find out if it's alive or dead. No, I'll probably do too much for now, let's say. What do you reckon, Mike?
Good morning, Ireland. It's wrong. By the way, I won't be telling you if the person is dead or alive.
Yeah, I didn't think you would, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see what you were doing there. You were trying to inch towards
a clue,
I
was trying to get a clue of, is it... Alive or dead person.
Okay, current or whatever.
I'm presuming it's a living person.
Robin Williams is wrong, unfortunately. Ryan, listen, thanks for having a go, Ryan. Keep at it.
Cheers.
See you later, Ryan. Have a good one.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Right, so Josephine Walsh is in Limerick. Hiya, Josephine.
Morning, guys.
Hey. Good morning to you. How was your weekend?
I was all right now, thank you.
Yeah, did you have a good one, yeah?
Yeah, a little busy one.
Oh, good
A
stuff.
Really busy one?
A little busy.
Oh.
Yeah, did it what fly it? By?
Sorry?
Did it fly by?
It flew by, yes.
Was it sort of busy in a good way, as in you were doing stuff that you wanted to be doing, or was it busy with doing stuff you had to be doing?
Doing stuff I wanted to be doing.
Oh, yeah, they're the ones to have.
Yeah. Well, mind you, it's very rare you actually want to be doing certain things, isn't it?
Well, you never know.
You know what I mean? Especially if it involves other people and all. You know that way, Jim? Josephine, let's try and give you a few quid. Who is it?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, right, so Mr. Star Trek.
One of your heroes.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Picard, of course. What do you reckon, Mike?
A great character as well, and hasn't been guessed before at all. Has never been guessed in any Who the Man. So, Josephine, you've boldly gone where no woman has gone before.
Oh, I like it.
Come on, lads. Always on fire on a Monday.
I tell you, that's a great start.
That's a good start.
In fairness, Josephine, I'm sorry you didn't get it, but that was a cracking pun from the man.
Okay.
Listen, Josephine, have a good day. Take care of yourself.
You.
Cheers.
See you later, Josephine.
I'm not totally convinced Josephine was as impressed.
I don't think she was impressed.
didn't give me the credit.
That was a belter.
That was a belter.
Michael,
a lot of prep went into that.
Someone on Twitter did suggest I write a book of puns. I'm just telling you, I might include you in the royalties, but...
A book of puns?
Yeah, someone said that to me on Twitter.
So just compile all of your puns?
Yeah, I don't know how it'll work now, but maybe make it into a novel.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, I remember it was a Tuesday morning... And
a memoir.
The guest was Jean-Luc Picard, and I said...
Let me tell you, Ryan, it was an incredible time in my life.
Yeah. Magic Mike's Book of Puns.
Yep.
I like it. There's something in that.
Something to it, all right. Can't wait till he's on the Late Late trying to pull that one off.
Right, so there we go. We know it's not Jean-Luc Picard, and we know it is not...
Robin Williams.
So well
there you go.
Done.
22-5. You can have another go with Damien Farrelly. He'll give it to you, hopefully, at €2,200. And if he doesn't, sure, we'll start all over again the same time tomorrow.
Absolutely. For us, though, on the way after 8 o'clock, it's food, glorious food. Or is it glorious?
It's not glorious at
not
all.
Are you allowed to eat anything
apparently
anymore?
Apparently, even food is bad for you now. It doesn't even matter what type of food.
PJ and Jim in the morning.
Wake up happy.
The two-time Imro award-winning breakfast show with Flexify, Ireland's latest way to pay. See flexify.com.
Classic hits.
Madonna and Cherish here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim, 10 past 8 on this Monday, 18th of February, and happy birthday to Aisling. Aisling's in Trim. It's her birthday today and she wants a shout out.
Oh, happy
she
birthday,
the day
Aisling.
Off and nothing to do. A bit like you, PJ. It's kind of nothing to do.
Well, it's nice to have a day every so often. Don't get me wrong, where you have nothing to do. It's lovely.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, when it comes every weekend...
Just in case you missed the conversation
it's like, you know what I mean?
Earlier, PJ thinks his weekends are too long.
I don't think the whole... Whoa, before... Now, listen, and this is since he got us doing Saturday shows, by the way. Then he complains they're too short.
Too short, there.
But there you go. But no, I'm not saying you shouldn't have them. I'm just saying they can feel very long.
Right.
It's when you're used to being busy. Yeah. And then it's a very abrupt end to the week to suddenly wake up on a Saturday...
And have all that free time.
Do you bit of gym and all. By 10 o'clock in the morning, you had your lunch. Like, what the hell am I going to do till Monday morning? That's
anyway,
all.
Aisling, enjoy your day off and happy birthday to you. It's good to have you along. Whatever you do, Aisling, however you intend to celebrate today.
Well, don't eat food. Whatever you do, don't eat. Well, do.
Stay away. Put the fork down, Aisling. Put the fork down.
Don't cook anything. It's bad news. There's two different stories that we've come across this morning, right? Both completely independent. Nothing to do with the goat. I don't know why I said goat. Both completely independent. And one is from Australia, right? And this one says, burnt toast could actually be more toxic than traffic fumes. So scientists in Australia have said that if you aren't careful, you're consuming a powerful polluter. Yeah. That's what they're saying about burnt toast.
It's burnt toast as in that it's black. It's charcoal nearly. The stuff you'd be scraping off.
Well, I suppose it's any sort of black at all.
Presumably some people claim toast is burnt just because it's kind of like a darkish brown.
You know those people that's just like warm bread.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No,
that's not even proper toast.
Yes.
I hate that. If toast isn't properly brown.
Yeah, it has to go through. You know when you're in the hotel, you put it into the toasting. At least twice around.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And you know those...
Which on that?
Those animals who just put it through one.
Yeah.
And it's neither toast nor bread. It's halfway.
It's like a stale bread.
Yeah.
On one side.
It's just weirdly... weird one. So there you go. So now, that's in Australia. They're warning us. Whatever you do, don't. It's too dangerous to eat toast. Because if it's in any way burnt, it's a powerful polluter, worse than breathing in the fumes of a diesel
sucking out
engine.
Of an exhaust pipe.
A diesel engine. There you go. And then in the United States, right? So the United States have their own one. This is a completely different story. They say cooking a Sunday roast is more harmful to your health than breathing polluted city air. So there you go, a Sunday roast, yeah?
What?
Roasting meat, boiling veg, heating gravy. It fills your kitchen with a cocktail of dangerous fumes, so dangerous that the pollutants have this particulate matter, 2.5. Who cares what it means, but it's linked to asthma, heart disease, stroke and cancer. So cooking food is killing people, apparently. There you go, nonsense. Utter, complete nonsense. Imagine a carvery is as bad as, sticking your head in the back of a diesel engine. Oh my God, what happened there? Talk about losing
the rules. Here come the engines.
I stuck my head in the back of an engine and I was sucking it in and then I went for a carvery. It's complete nonsense. Will you stop?
So it's not just the meat thing, because the meat thing's been going around for a while, the idea of cooking meat. You're saying that even cooking veg... Or warm
it's
and gravy.
A cocktail.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a cocktail. You're making a cocktail of fumes. And they say, so here's the thing, right? During cooking, the airborne hazards, they peaked above 200 micrograms per cubic metre of air. God, isn't that what we're all terrified of when we're smelling the dinner?
I tell you, there's never a day goes by I'm not worried about what's in the microwave.
Some people might smell a dinner and go, and let their mouth water. Not me. I think that smells like 200 micrograms per cubic So the World Health Organization, they recommend, this is like a 10 you... Oh, do you know something? I could read it, but it's absolute nonsense. This is one of those things where you get an actual study and they might say, yeah, if you have a certain section of this city, which isn't so bad at all, and you're on the outside, it may be the same sort of fumes as if you're burning a whole load of dinners in some mega kitchen. You know, when you're making, like, I don't know, 47 turkeys for Christmas for all the prisoners on death row or something somewhere else. And they combine the two and make it sound with some weird skewing of the figures that you... making yourself dinner on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah.
We have roast potatoes and a bit of ham.
May as well have just wandered around one of the most polluted cities in the world, breathing it all in.
You were going jogging in Beijing.
Yeah.
They make it sound like it's that. It's complete now. Would you stop?
So the answer then basically is, if you want hot food, run it under the tap.
Run it under the tap. Or else sit on it.
Put it under your arm.
Sellotape two chicken fillets under your arms for a week.
To warm them.
And that'll warm them enough.
Yeah.
And then don't eat
them. And that's it. So everything's raw now, is it?
Everything has to be raw. So sushi is the only thing, apparently, that's all right for you. Sushi and untoasted bread. Oh, what a great world we live in now. I tell you something. When health and safety people are now telling us we can't even cook our dinners, you have to start asking yourself questions. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It was bad enough when you had to kind of, you know... wear protective stuff. Remember we found there was protective gloves just to handle an avocado. Do you remember those?
Oh, that's right. You can actually buy the avocado safety gloves.
So now you'll have to get a mask every time you cook your dinner, like you were walking around in a polluted city.
Yeah, you can, you're right. No, you can eat it. It's just the smelling it that seems to be the problem, yeah.
Yeah. So if you do that, and either that or else just get yourself a load of hot water bottles and leave them lying on your food.
It's going to be, people are just going to tell us to start going to McDonald's for health food again, aren't they? We'll
be like,
so whatever you do, don't cook. Seriously, find somewhere clean, yeah, sanitised, yeah, where it doesn't really smell of anything. Okay, happy meal it is. Everyone into the car.
Yeah, tell her about it. Billy Joel here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim, 19 minutes past 8 o'clock. We were just chatting there, PJ and myself and Magic Mike, about how if you were to take every food story, we can't think, right, between the three of us, we were trying to think of any food... or even type of food that doesn't have something that somebody complains about, right?
Yeah.
So we literally tried, we got down to, at first we thought maybe veg, you get away, there's no bad stuff about veg. Then Mike pointed out, well, there's the pesticides thing. People always give you, you'd have to make sure it was, right, because the pesticides
thing. Yeah, because, it's not organic veg or it's not.
Yeah. Then we thought, right, water, you're good. And then, of course, there's people have issues with the fluoride thing.
Yeah, they all know you can't. No, the fluoride has been well, and then the chlorine and all that.
Yeah. Fruit, somebody will complain about the sugar levels.
Yeah,
if
they will.
Too much fruit.
Can't be doing. And you need organic fruit and all with chemicals on the fruit.
Of course, more chemicals there. Yeah. We're actually trying to think.
It's like you can only eat fruit if there's a sniper that's there to shoot the spiders. at a distance. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. The only way to be healthy is to starve yourself to death.
That's unbelievable. So if anybody, right, if there's anything, if anybody can think of a single food that doesn't have, somebody will, something will complain about. Somebody will complain about on some level.
Yeah.
Because we can't think of a single thing that you can actually eat without somebody going, just be careful
you can't be doing that because of
everything in America, you know.
Yeah, you see, unless you boil it, you have to. And even boiled water, did you do it in a plastic kettle? Oh, Jesus, you're mad boiling that near plastic. That's the other, bottled water because of the fluoride. No, you can't. Not out of the plastic bottles, you have to.
Oh, plastic bottles, are supposed to have a coating
on the
inside.
It's supposed to do this tongue where it
causes higher levels of estrogen or
something like that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know a fella, and he drank two bottles of bottled water, and he grew one big boob on his back. Huge boob on his back. He got, oh jeez, the poor fella. Now, I've never met him myself, but I heard about it.
Brilliant.
Calm down.
Out of curiosity, in case we're missing something, if anybody can think of anything at all that somebody can't raise some form of objection to.
I don't think you're going to.
I think we're on a winner here.
I don't think you're going to.
I think it's a fait accompli. It can't be done.
Even rice or pat, you can't. No.
There'll be something.
The old white rice, if you eat it, it blows up your stomach. You ever see a seagull when it blows up? Yeah. The fella there, his rivet fell out. I don't even know what that is.
Perfect. Fairground Attraction here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. Breakfast table quiz on the way. So if you fancy it, 087-188-0008. The number to call. Nothing to beat on a Monday. If you've ever kind of thought, I wouldn't mind having a go at that, but I'd be a bit embarrassed. This is the day to do it.
Don't worry, Monday people are normally doing quite well at the moment, actually. Listen, if you're one of those people, and we all are in some way, we've all spent a few quid on something. and then realised, fart, it's not what was cracked up to be, right?
Right.
This story's for you if you're one of those people. We've all bought a car and there's like, well, not like all bought a car, but we've bought some. I bought car, motorbikes, thought they were great. 5 minutes up the road, I'm like, this is a bucket of bolts. Anyway, what a load of crap this is. And especially if you're an art person, you might be thinking, well, you might have been looking at the new painting that was supposed to be sort of, what would you say, exposed or hung up or what you do? You exhibit.
Exhibited.
Yeah. In the Louvre.
Displayed, whatever. Yeah.
So the Salvatore Mundi, Leonardo da Vinci's one was supposed to be exhibited in the Louvre in Abu Dhabi a month ago. And it was suddenly, for no reason, it was cancelled.
Right.
Like, what's going on there? Because we know that the culture minister of Saudi Arabia had spent $450 million to get his hands on it. Right? And just wait, you get this for a mouthful. This is his name, right? Prince Badr bin Abdullah bin Mohammed bin Farnan al Saud.
There's what a lot name of bins that is, in there,
right?
Isn't there?
You know, a lad's got a few quid when he's got three bins in his name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got a huge amount of money, right? So he spent 400...
Bins are the way forward.
$450 million.
Take it from us. Bins are the way forward.
Yeah, he's been recycled so many times, he can spend that on a painting. He's $450 million spent on a painting. Turns out it's a fake. It's a complete dodge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he bought it in London, of all places. And it turns out it's a fake. Now, an art historian and Da Vinci expert, a guy called Jacques Franck, he's claimed that it's a fake. He's written to Macron, President Macron, because he knows. He said it would be an absolute scandal to have a factory-made Da Vinci's next to the Mona Lisa displayed in the Louvre. He said it would be ridiculous, beyond contemplation, really. Because you know the way art people get extremely uptight about, oh my God, it looks exactly the same, but one is worth $450 million, and the other one, oh, it makes me sick to look at it, right? So all of the, even though no one can tell the difference, well, apparently Jacques Franck can, but you know what I mean? The rest of us wouldn't have a clue, wouldn't have a butcher's, as they say. So he's written to the president, no response from the president as yet, but we do know it does seem to be a fake. It's not going to be up in the Louvre of Abu Dhabi. It's not going to be in the Louvre of France.
Somebody, if they're paying 450, I mean, obviously, three bins, shake, whatever. He, most surely to God, he bought it from somewhere, like, you know, a Christie's or a Sotheby's or a...
Christie's.
So Christie's were duped.
Well, they must have been. They must have been. But you would think that he did. You know, if you have 400...
That's embarrassing,
you know, when you're buying a car and they say, you know, get do the old motor check.
Yeah.
You know, they make you do the motor check. And it costs a few quid. It costs like €30 or something like that.
As opposed to just kicking the tires.
So you look at it and you go, right, has it been robbed? Has it been clocked? You know, that sort of thing. And
has it been crashed?
You know, if you're $450 million to spend on a painting, you would think you'd go, you know your man Jacques Franck.
That bloke who says he knows
you
everything
know
about
Da Vinci. Expert. Do you think you could get him to have a look at it first? You
or might even get Tom Hanks, like.
Huh?
Yeah, Tom Hanks. I mean, he knows all about the Da Vinci Code and all.
Oh, my God. That's probably what he did.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Tom? I'll tell you, three bins. It looks all right to me.
That's probably what he did. He probably got something like, no, I know, just the man.
Yeah.
Professor, what's his name?
Robert Langdon.
Langdon. Get Professor Robert. But that's it. An actor.
He's not real.
No.
Shut up. I saw the documentary.
I saw the documentary where he solves and cracks the code. I love all his documentaries. The one where he turned himself into a little boy was incredible as well. And that amazing documentary where he lived in an airport hangar for a couple of years.
I mean, the man taught himself to play piano with his feet.
He's incredible.
For God's sake.
Yeah, he's the right man for the job. Mr. Hanks, what do you think? Oh, sorry, Mr. Langdon.
Yeah.
Looks real to me.
I'll tell you. I'd go for that three bins.
It seems that that's kind of what he's done. So there you go. He's got a fake painting, $450 million down the drain. Essentially, it was supposed to be in the Louvre, but that's it. Now, what makes I don't want to seem like a complete Philistine, right? But what makes Da Vinci so special, anyway? he invented the helicopter before there was even air flight. Yeah, he painted a picture of a woman smiling.
Sort of.
If she is doing what she's doing, which, by the way, if you've ever been to see it, is the biggest disappointment. Have you ever been to the Louvre?
Because it's tiny, isn't it?
It's tiny, and miles away.
Never been. Surrounded
by Egypt.
Never been, no.
You walk out to some fabulous graffiti across the road. And I'm not even messing. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's stuff you can really relate to.
Is there hours of queues for it as well? Hours and hours to queue for it?
Yeah, I think so. The Louvre is a big place.
Anyway, the other question, you're right, is if Da Vinci was so good, how come some bloke could just, you know, do the same thing. Knock it up, like.
I ask you. It's like all the... Sometimes art people are a bit like wine people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you can wine people... Yes, notes. And then you get some lad, he's making it in a sink and putting fancy labels on the bottle.
And they're like, absolutely fabulous.
I'll tell you something, this guy is brilliant.
This is a Chateau Piave. It's made 200 years ago. It's just peaked. Oh, really, it's not. It's like, it's a Chateau gone yeah, yeah. ho. Yeah. Made in the back of it, made in a bat. And that smell that you think is the ultimate rose that was picked 200 years ago, it's a bit of plastic fell out of the back of the bat.
It's like, whatever about Da Vinci, right? And doing things like Mona Lisa and whatever that one was called. I mean, it's when you get the modern art stuff. You know, the stuff that looks like it's just that a dog basically that had rolled in paint, shook itself, and whatever, it splashed. Oh my God, I think that's probably the way forward for art.
It is, yeah, and that's even if it's a painting.
Yeah.
Like some part of double sided sticky tape along a dog's back and use it as a scarf and just hang around the gallery, and that's art. You know, that's the sort of thing to do, that's art. Yeah. That's sticky tape with dog's hair on it. Yes, it's about the pain of the dog and the cold of my neck. Like, you're a jackass.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the award. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
With Julie Kilmartin's Educational Services in Ennis and Limerick. For exam success, it's got to be julies.ie.
This week, sending you off to the Green Isle Hotel. It's an overnight stay there, plus four tickets for dinner and a show. It's the Bon Jovi Supper Club night on the 30th of March. That's what you'll be enjoying. You get to see the Bon Jovi tribute act Slippery When Wet. And enjoy a fabulous dinner. All the info you need, greenislehotel.com if you want to check it out for yourself. Of course, just very easy access just off the N7 there on the Nace Road in Clondalkin. Only 5 minutes from the Red Cow Lewis depot as well. And you'll like this, PJ. Carvery lunch served too.
I do. I love a carvery.
You are a fan of a carvery.
I am. It must be my age because they're generally soft for pensioners' teeth. That's what's great about it. They're so soft. Nothing there to choke you.
Anyway, nothing to beat on a Monday. If you want to try and win this, who's going to have a go?
Who is going to have a go? It's Colin Bevan. Colin Bevan in Cork, is that right?
Yeah, how's it going, yeah?
How are you, Colin? How's things? Are you good?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Not bad at all. Did you have a good weekend for yourself?
Yeah, it was grand. Handy one, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, well, we're going to do our best for you this morning and try and set the standard. Are you up for this?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Great stuff. Right, 60 seconds, here we go.
The Tet Offensive was an event in what war?
What was it again?
The Tet Offensive.
First World War.
It was Vietnam. In the animal kingdom, can hippos swim?
No.
Yes. What is the nickname of the comedian Roy Brown?
Chubby.
In which sport were Sean Kelly and Stephen Roach popular?
Cycling.
Complete the title of this Blondie hit, Heart of What?
Glass.
A gosling is a young what?
Goose.
Yeah. Which traditional dance did the All Blacks perform before a match?
Hacker.
On a shoe, what can be described as Cuban or stiletto?
Heel.
Complete the next line of this nursery rhyme. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Oh, I wonder what you are.
Who released an album entitled J-Lo in 2001?
Jennifer Lopez.
What term is given to a country that is surrounded by land on all sides?
Landlocked.
In geology, what M is the layer that lies beneath the crust of the earth?
What M is it?
Yeah.
Pass.
In Mantle, which pink and yellow character appeared on TV's Noel's House Party?
Mr. Blobby.
That's the fella.
Well done. Right, that wasn't too bad. It was a bit of a shaky start.
A bit shaky, but we got there in the end.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Pretty good. Pretty good, Colin.
Double singles, they check that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And 10 hung on there last week for a good while.
It did, yeah. It was only beaten on the last day. On the Friday.
Good stuff.
The phone lines are bad during the week, lads.
Well done, Colin. Listen, 10, the score to beat. Fingers crossed for you. Thanks for playing.
Cheers, man.
See you, Colin. Take good care luck. Bye-bye now.
Right, so there you go. 10, not a bad score to get us going. Pretty much the same as last week. So 11 or more will put you into the lead, and then you're really getting the hard to beat.
Yeah, we could do without the controversy of last week.
Oh, my God, the drama.
The absolute drama of last week.
Yeah, I'm so glad the person on the last Friday took it all away. Took it all our hands.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's see what sort of trouble we can get ourselves into this week. It's all ahead of us.